Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always, lads, a little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Now, this week, it's time to answer your questions, which have come in to us on jen@rte.ie. And I'm delighted to be joined by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Jen. Oh, I love these Q&As.
Oh, so many of them, by the way. A lot have come in and very varied. So let's get to it. The first one says, hi, Jen, anonymous, please. I've been living with my boyfriend for 2 years now and I'm mad about him. However, I've noticed lately that our sex life has gotten really quiet. What was a few times a week is now once or maybe twice. We are both always wrecked with work, life, etc. I don't feel like we are connecting fully. Any advice, please?
So this person hasn't been super clear whether they are actually wanting more sex. You know, when they say they're not connecting fully, does the person mean that they'd actually like more sexual intimacy, or is it just that you think you should? You know, a lot of us have become really obsessed with this idea of what normal is. And so just sort of questioning that. Or is it that you're worried that it means your partner's going off you? Is it that you're worried that you're going off each other? And I'd also question, like, how else can you connect? You know, that it doesn't have to be only sexual, just in terms of like physical affection, connecting over hobbies that you have, interests that you have, doing, you know, kind of active sporty things together, creative things, intellectual things, whatever it is. So just like questioning what you mean when you are saying we're not connecting fully, because that could potentially mean quite a lot of things. And it's also very, very normal, very
common.
Normal for people to have less sex as time goes on in relationships, and all, and for there to be different periods where sometimes you might be having loads of sex, sometimes less, and just sort of working out, if you're both really wrecked from work, is there a way that you can talk about that to make that a bit better for each other and more enjoyable?
Next question. Hey, Jen, I've been talking to this fella for ages and last week we met up. We didn't have sex, but we did have oral sex. He now has a UTI and is blaming me. I feel really bad and I almost feel dirty that I've given it to him. Thanks, Jen.
So UTIs happen in the bladder, but certain kinds of bacteria normally ascend up into the bladder via the urethra, but oral sex can push certain bacteria into the urethra that can cause UTIs. But that doesn't mean that the person giving oral sex is dirty. You know, some of us are simply more susceptible to getting UTIs. Sometimes it can be to do with having a certain kind of friction during sexual contact. So, you know, the fact that this person is blaming you is a bit of a red flag. I would talk to them about that as to what they mean and whether they are trying to say that there is something bad or wrong about you or what you did, or they're trying to imply that you have an STI that has given them a UTI. So I would really just try and sort that out, what's actually being talked about there. But that, yes, absolutely, oral sex can lead to UTIs, but that doesn't make the person giving the oral sex dirty.
Exactly. Hi, Jen and Rachel. I'm looking for some advice about a recent dating situation that has really damaged my self-esteem and trust. I'm a gay woman and had a few incredible dates with a bisexual woman a few months ago. We had a really strong connection and she was one initiating dates and frequently complimenting me, being really full on with her interest in me, etc. However, everything suddenly changed after we slept together. I'll be the first to admit the sex was very awkward. For some reason, neither of us climaxed. It was very much a non-event and I felt embarrassed after. She barely texted me after and eventually gave me the excuse that she felt she wasn't over her ex-boyfriend, which ended a month previous, and that her therapist told her she needed time alone. 1 week later, I discovered she's dating a brand new guy, proving clearly she lied in her reasons. Would bad sex be for the first time with someone, you know, would that really completely change your feelings for them? I don't see how she could have faked those feelings for me the whole time and let one time together be a deal breaker. What do you think, Rachel?
Oh, I really feel for this person. I'm really sorry that happens. It just sounds like a really disappointing and upsetting experience. There are so many possible things that happened here. This woman could have idealized you and then fled at the first sign of there being, you know, a challenge. It could be that she was trying to be more into it than she actually was. It could be that she's conflicted about her sexuality. Mm. It could be that she's actually looking to have a relationship with a man because she's wanting to have kids with him. You know, there could be all sorts of reasons. It could be that you remind her of an ex or her sister or her boss. It doesn't necessarily mean that she lied just because she's with a guy now. It could simply be that she's still not over her ex and decided that she, you know, connected with this person, jumped back into a relationship as a rebound. There's so many reasons. And she could have lied also, but we just don't know here. We just don't have the information. You also haven't said what was awkward about it. You know, the person hasn't said what was awkward. It could have been that it ended up being triggering. Maybe this person has sexual trauma, and it doesn't mean that it was your fault or that you did anything wrong, but the person could have been very triggered potentially by the sex, which could be absolutely nothing to do with you. So here I would say just allow yourself to feel sad and grieve and acknowledge that you don't know and you may never know exactly what went on here. And that's, it's a shame that it happened, but also, you know,
move on.
It's, yeah.
Good advice. Jen, Rachel, how often do long-term couples have sex in a week? My hubby thinks we are not a, inverted commas, normal couple.
Oh, there's no such thing as normal. Normal has become the modern religion. And most normal ideals are based on actually often very privileged populations that can't be universalized. You know, the result of this like focus on being normal is massive levels of shame and anxiety about not measuring up. So I would say, you know, where possible, that we recognize and stop forcing these rules and expectations on ourselves and our relationships. Some people have sex multiple times a day. Some people have sex never, ever. And then there's everything in between. So I would ask him to be more specific. Is he actually trying to say that he would really like more sex? Or is it that he's fine about the amount of sex that you're having, but is still worrying that it's abnormal? So, you know, just talk about it, because there is no exact normal. You know, there can be things that are more sort of usual at a certain time in a certain, you know, community, identity, geography, culture. But that doesn't mean that you need to be obsessed about trying to be normal. If something is working for you, it's working for you and your partner or partners, then that's great.
So how does she approach him? What should she say to him? What kind of questions to, because obviously he's the one with the problem if he's saying like, we're not normal. So how does she react to that?
I'd literally just ask him, what do you say? Like, if she finds it hurtful, I would probably say, like, ouch, I feel a little bit like you're saying there's something wrong with me or with us. Mm. And I'd really like to understand more what it is that you mean by that.
There
you
we
know,
go.
Simply ask.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Hi, Rachel. My relationship with my boyfriend is over. I haven't broke up with him yet, as I'm still living with him and it's really complicated. And also my current boyfriend, soon to be ex, has a temper and has an aggressive tone all the time. The problem is that I'm talking to someone else and he's really kind and wants to meet me and I want to meet him too. I don't know what to do.
Oh, that sounds like a tough situation. Of course, it makes sense to want to feel desired and treated well and kindly by someone else. But, you know, a well-adjusted person is not going to want to get involved with you while you're still living with your, what sounds like, aggressive ex. You know, I feel worried for this person writing in that this man, this person is potentially, you know, emotionally abusive. I would say absolutely do what you need to do to get out of the current situation before you engage with anyone else, because, you know, yes, it could be a distraction, but it sounds like your focus needs to be on getting out of this situation with someone who you do not want to be with and, by the sounds of it, do not feel safe with.
Hi, Rachel. I like to make noise during sex. This is from a listener. But my boyfriend keeps telling me to, it puts him off. Is he weird or am I weird? I like him and I don't want my moans to come between us.
Back to this idea of normal. None of you are weird. In an ideal world, we wouldn't be bothered by or feel the urge to police each other's sexual expression. But there's a number of reasons that this might bother him. So work out what it is. Is it that if you live with others, or maybe you don't live together, but you're each living separately, if you're living with other people, is it the fear of being overheard for your partner? Is it that he has a sense that maybe it's not genuine on your part? That could be possibly what he's worried about. Or does he find himself fixating on on whether you're enjoying yourself enough based on how much noise you're making. Another one is something called misophonia, which is a condition in which certain sounds trigger intense disgust, anger, or distress for people. And that can be to do with literally just like the frequency of sounds. We don't fully yet understand the reasons why some people have misophonia, but it's something to look into as well, because sometimes it's nothing to do with them judging you for, you know, how you are expressing yourself during sex. It's quite literally that the sounds you know, bother them, that it causes like a reaction in their ears, in their brain, in their nervous system, that causes them to feel something very unpleasant. So just talk to him about what it is that's bothering him.
Hi Rachel, my girlfriend has asked me if I would consider a threesome with another man. I said I would if it was a girl, but the thoughts of a man just freaks me out, and she says she has no interest in bringing another woman into the mix. How can we compromise here?
So I think something that's really good to do, especially for you know, cisgendered men who say that they feel very uncomfortable about the idea of contact with another man. You know, the thing is, first of all, in a threesome, you don't have to have any sexual contact with one or of the people involved. You know, it could simply be that you are present. Now, I'm not saying that people have to be comfortable with this. Of course, you're not obligated to have certain kinds of sexual experiences. You're not obligated to fulfill your partner's fantasies just because they're into them. You're not, you know, you definitely shouldn't do things that make you feel really uncomfortable. However, you know, I think that there is also worth taking into account that in relationships there's give and take, and that for many people, sort of acknowledging and doing some work to actively dismantle our homophobia, which can be that, you know, it is simply that we have been conditioned to believe that there's something wrong or bad or disgusting about having sex with someone of the same gender as us. And so, you know, I think there's quite a lot to sort of look at and discuss and to talk about with your partner. And also just, you know, identifying yourself, what aspect of the threesome with someone with a penis grosses you out? Is it the idea of kissing him? Is it the idea of his penis touching your body? Is it about, you know, him like penetrating your partner? So just doing your best to be as explicit and list down the things that you're not okay with. Mm. You know, obviously during sex, communication and trust is key. So sitting down with your partner and just sort of talking about your reservations, because very potentially there are ways that you can have boundaries around how you might do this so that you would feel much safer and really enjoy it and everyone would have a great time.
Can Rachel please explain exactly what douching is and how it can be done safely?
Yeah, so douching is the French word for wash or soak. So it's a method to wash out the vagina or anus. It used to usually be done with a mixture of water and vinegar. And then you can buy douches in sort of shops and pharmacies. They usually contain antiseptics and fragrances. So people with vaginas often say that they douche to get rid of what they deem as unpleasant odors in the vagina, to wash away menstrual blood after their period. Some people believe that it helps you avoid getting STIs, and some people also believe that it can prevent pregnancy after sex. However, it is not effective for any of these purposes. Douching can actually increase the risk of infections. It can cause pregnancy complications and other health problems because it upsets the natural balance of the Victoria. Exactly. It upsets that bacteria in the vagina. And then apparently research has found that women who douche can also have a much higher risk of getting pelvic inflammatory disease, which mm-hmm. is an infection of the uterus and fallopian tubes and ovaries. So there's all sorts of things that make douching for people with vaginas actually really crap. Basically, don't do it.
You know, don't be putting vinegar or anything perfumed up there. It's one thing I learned.
Exactly. And having some vaginal odor is completely normal. You know, if you notice that it's a very strong odor, it could be a sign of infection. And so actually, you should just go to the doctor and get that checked out. However, there's also anal douching for sex, for people of all genders who would like to be receiving anal sex. And so that is something that definitely some people find very, very helpful just feel a little bit cleaner before having anal play or anal sex. And so there is loads of resources online to work out how you can do that so it feels comfortable. But it usually involves a bit of lube.
God, you got it in there. The last question. Amazing. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for that. We'll chat to you next week.
Talk to you then.
Bye,
Jen.
Love. There we go. Rachel Cook, our sex therapist, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's everything. Thank you so much for that. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She will be back next week. If you have a question, if you'd like her to talk about anything, I mean, she just explained what douching is and how to do it properly and how you maybe should avoid it. Get in touch with the show. Yeah. Get in touch with the team 24/7. Send an email to jen@rt.ie. She is all ears and nothing is off the table.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.